Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center, Tucson, Arizona, a ministry of helping people live life the way God intended. Less regret, more joy, more peace, more freedom. And that's what we believe, because the Bible teaches us very clearly that we are to figure out what pleases Him and then do it. He gets the glory, and you know what? I've seen, and you've seen, when people choose to be obedient to their Heavenly Father as followers of Christ, here's a little secret. We benefit. Not about do's and don'ts. It's about obedience that turns into great blessing in our lives. I've seen it for many, many years in my own life and the lives of those I talk to. And that's what we're going to get into today. We're going to go back and revisit a topic that we had last Wednesday on the power of words. And I'll tell you what, our lines just blew up. And we've got people who want to continue that discussion today. And if you missed the show, we started with a call from Angie. She just called and left this comment on our storyline in pain about the power of words and how destructive they have been in their marriage. I want to give you some encouragement, and then we're going to hear some friends in a moment. But first, take a listen.
Hi, my name is Angie. My question is, I pretty much don't know what to do. I'm reaching for hope. I've read your books, listened to your talk show, and I go to church all the time, every Sunday, and on Mondays. My problem is with my husband. I love him dearly. He's a hard worker, but he has a horrible attitude. His profanity in the home is appalling. What's so hard is the way he talks to me, the way he talks to our children, his attitude. I just don't know what to do. It's been tough. I need to have some advice, some hopes, because when you get married for life. Your prayers are needed, and your love is needed.
We feel for you, Angie. A lot of people have been praying for you since we aired that last, your call last Wednesday. Proverbs 18, life and death in the power of the tongue. And just say right at the beginning here, if you have someone in your life who just speaks into your life in ways that are hurtful for you, and by the way, admittedly, this is an extreme. This needs to be really confronted. This kind of control is just something that needs to be dealt with, and if it's safely able to do so. But many times we just say things that hurt, and we don't even mean to. Because, you know, I made this statement the other day that we remember our words because they're important to us, but not the intention behind them. See, we remember words and not intention. And when someone says to us a word that has a picture in our mind, that's what we remember. And their intention may have been good, but it landed with a thud in our lives. So we wanted to continue this again today and just hear some encouragement, hopefully, along the way. And I want to give you some encouragement before we run out of time as well. All right, this is Intentional Living, helping us live our lives as God intended. Let's go. April, you're first in Kansas. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for your call. What have you learned about words?
I suffer. I suffer from words myself. I'm almost 60. I've been abused my whole entire life. And there's a piece of me that is this. When I get hurt, my husband left me 6 months ago, and he's not communicating anything to me. And there's this piece of me that just gets triggered, and I'm so angry. Yeah. And I lash out in words just to get any kind of response. Like, I feel like it's cruel, and there's no closure. There's no knowing why. There's nothing. And so, you know, I just have been trying to communicate, and, you know, I said terrible things. And then the worst part of it all is I'm a Christian. And then I beat up on myself because it doesn't seem to be any will to hold my tongue So I'm the one that's, you know, I think I've learned it my whole entire life. And, you know, I'm a peaceful, easy go lucky person, except when I get abandoned or hurt, or I'm in great sadness and pain, and then I'm not so good it anymore.
Well, I'm so sorry you're experiencing this, April. Let me say a couple things. One is, the good news is you have insight into this. You have an awareness. Yeah. That's kind of like getting halfway around the basis, you know? And now to be able to really talk to someone and work through what's going on. And if you're not, I'd recommend that you find a counselor and get into a place where you can get some support, encouragement, because you're aware of this and you see it and you can see where the triggers are. And you're aware of the fact that the words you've used, unfortunately, don't get you the results that you're looking for.
Yeah,
that's a strange thing, isn't it? We say things, and we all do it. I mean, we get frustrated, and we say things, and we don't get the kind of results that we want. What is it that you would really want? What do you want back from the words you use?
I want my husband to talk to me. I mean, we've been married for 20 years, and he just vanished, and just completely... I can't talk about it. And it's like, but I need to know why. Why did you leave me? What did I do wrong? Why couldn't we get help? Why couldn't we go see a counselor? What, you know?
How long ago did you say? Six months, April?
Yeah.
Hey, six months. Okay. And you've had no communication with him?
Well, it's all me trying to communicate, you know, and I get nothing. And then I'm just like, you know.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we know this intellectually, and we call it the 3-foot rule around here. I can only be responsible for my words going out. I can be responsible for my attitude, for the things that I do, my head, heart, and hand, how I think, how I emote, my emotions, and how I react to my emotions, and then how I behave and what I do. What's frustrating is when we allow other people to have that kind of control over us, they come into our 3-foot space, or they don't come into it, and it's frustrating to us. We give them, we hear this a lot, we give them power. That's really what we're talking about. We give them power over our life in a way that's not healthy. And so you've probably heard, April, or you along the way, that the best thing right now would be to work on April. In other words, say, hey, God, what are you teaching me through this? Who do I need to see, and what help can I get? How can I better my life? How can I become more intentional? How can I experience life the way you intended? Because this ain't it right now. This ain't it. And to be able to get into that place where you become a person dealing with those issues from your past, I know that's a hard journey to go through, but you got the insight, and then begin the process to have that healing in your life. Because right now and you know this, I think, you're giving your husband way too much control over your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of work around this, and I've moved to there was just so many changes. But anyway, I'm trying to find a counselor, and, I do see it, and I'm ashamed, and, it's not good. It's just not good to do that, because not only is it bad for you, it's bad for them. It's you shame yourself, and then you're beating up on yourself, and I don't want to be that way. I want to be loving and caring and walk with God at the helm.
And you can, April, but remember that Satan is really a promoter of shame. He loves to point his finger right into our nose and say, look at you, April. You say you're a Christian, and yet you use those nasty words toward your husband. April, you gotta push back and say, Satan, get behind me. And then start to work on April. Be aware of it, saying, hey, shame isn't going to get me anywhere, but getting help can, because I want to be a whole person, a growing person, a strong person in my relationship with Christ.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I want to say thanks for your support. You are here helping us talk to people just like April, and not only on the radio, but through our podcast, our events, our publications, our online things we're doing. And your financial support is absolutely essential to allow us to underwrite what we do, because we don't borrow money, period. We just use what comes in to send back out to help people here, covering the cost of what we do. So thank you. And when you join us, by the way, you'll get access to all of our teaching. You're making it available to other people, and you're helping us do what God's given us to do. Thank you. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or click on the donate button when you're there, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Just I want to say something about the why question. You heard April talk about why. I just need to know why. You know, the why question can drive us crazy. And is it possible that you want to know a why answer from someone that maybe has left you or hurt you or whatever, and they don't know why, or they're ashamed to tell you why, or it's just sort of a gotcha on the way out? You know, there's, in other words, there's stuff going on in their life that obviously is not very healthy if we can't sit down and be honest and communicating. So anyway, be careful with where the why question can lead. I think when we look in our own lives, why am I doing this and why am I behaving this way? Those are good questions. But why you're doing that is a question that may be unanswerable if a person chooses not to share with you.
Yes, Dr. Randy. My name is Cass from Phoenix. The lady that spoke earlier with her mom, I'm having the same issue with my wife. I try to do the right thing and just love her, but there's times that it just gets overwhelming and, you know, I just let it get to me and I'm trying not to. But, you know, when she starts saying the things she does, like she regrets marrying me, and all types of cold things, you know, to say to someone. You know, I just need advice. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm saying the wrong things to her. I keep telling her, you know, you need to trust God. I've done some hurt to her in the past. I was addicted to some drugs, and I put her through a lot of pain and suffering, but I went to treatment, and it's been over 18 months, and she just, I don't know if it's a trust issue or just she just keeps bringing it back, and I don't know what else to say to her. So maybe you could help out with this situation. Thank you.
You might try this, honey. I know I've hurt you over the years, and I'm so sorry. And I know you're in a process of working through that, and whatever I can do to help, I'm here. And then pray for her and love her. Because she has to have the ownership of how she's feeling, what she's doing, and you have to have responsibility for what you've done. And that's part of the healing process, just honesty, talking with each other. All right, Matthew's in Arizona. Hey there, Matthew, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
Good, good. What prompted you to call about words today?
Yeah, so I don't know. I just had a little, I was sitting here listening, and I had a little bug in my ear, and you know, hopefully my little story could help somebody out there. Long story short, I grew up in a cult environment. It wasn't necessarily, the whole drinking the Kool-Aid kind of cult, but it was very, very abusive, very exclusive. We weren't allowed to have friends outside of our little congregation, stuff like that. It was also very, very abusive. I was worthless. My mom's a worthless mother. I've got two sisters that were going to grow up, to be lesbians, because they don't like dressing like little girls. They never have. It's always blue jeans and a shirt. It's the way our family is, frankly. But anyway, I digress. From there, I went off and joined the military, and that was another fun experience. And at the end of the day, I guess what this kind of culminates into is I grown up a very angry individual. Mm-hmm. I am a hothead. I have a very nasty temper that I've learned to curb over the years. All this culminates into, my marriage. Actually, I've been married, almost 11 years now. Actually, this April it'll be 11 years, and 90 days into our marriage, my marriage almost ended. Because of my temper, and my wife she could also be a little bit hot sometimes too. We had a little bit of a blowout, and it came to a misunderstanding, communication. It came down to words.
Yeah.
She spent a couple of bucks that I was not aware of. Likewise, I spent a couple of bucks that she wasn't aware of, and both of us blew up, said a whole lot of words that we frankly shouldn't have, and she almost left me that night.
Mm-hmm.
God willing, thank you, Jesus, she didn't, because she also saved my life a few times, literally. Through these lessons, we now have a little girl together, and the lesson that I had taken from it all is the scriptural, the old adage, be slow to anger, slow down, think about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And
has that made a difference?
When it comes to,
has that helped you?
Oh, immensely, immensely, immensely. Good Lord. Yes. Whenever I would get upset, I've actually learned to not necessarily shut down, but I will be very quiet. When I'm upset, I get quiet. Because I will hurt your feelings, and the biggest lesson is, especially to parents and to, especially to really newlyweds, because I learned this lesson the hard way, is definitely take a breath. First of all, that kind of goes without saying. You hear it all the time. Take a breath and say, all right, listen, if I'm gathering you correctly, A, B, C, D, E,
mm-hmm.
And, Mandy and I, we'll go rounds and we'll talk and we'll debate and maybe even get a little bit heated, but at the end of the day, I love you.
Yeah. And that's a key,
and I will, I have very bad esteem issues. Those little demons from my time in my childhood, as well as them in the military, I still battle those demons on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And she makes it a point to at least once a day, if not once a week, once a day would be preferable, but at least once a week, she will tell me that she is proud of the man that I've become, that I have learned to curb my temper, that I have learned to lead my family back to church, so on and so forth. And the biggest lesson is for new parents that I would definitely tell them the thing that I've learned is, sometimes I will fly off the handle and maybe even yell and scream, it still happens. But after all is said and done, I'll go talk to Emma and say, baby, okay, listen, cool. I probably shouldn't have gotten as hot, but do you understand why I got upset? And either yes or no, and we'll have a nice little discussion about it. And I will explain to her why that topic, whatever it was such a hot trigger, or whatever lesson that she needs to learn from said incident, whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago, she took her bike off and we had no idea where she was. Excuse me, where do you think you're going? what I'm saying?
Let me jump in, Matthew, because I got another call I got to get to. But I want to really bring home something you said that's really powerful that we don't miss. you have learned, I mean, you had every reason, it sounds like, you and your wife, you said even just days into your marriage, like, this isn't going to work. And you both said...
I lost you for the second. I think you accidentally put me on hold for a hot sec. Sorry.
Oh, yes. But you guys have learned that you need to communicate with each other. You need to be willing to apologize to each other. You need to be able to share with each other. And you said it at the beginning of the call, the scripture you're referencing, that is, we need to be swift in our listening, which is really, it's interesting. Yeah. The word says swift in our listening and slow in our speech. And that's a very powerful combination, because when we do that, that is really what intentional living, you know, that's really what it's all about. And to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it.
We also believe that intentional living is a straightforward, easy to understand, biblical approach to life that results in transformation from the inside out. It leads to healed marriages, restored health, creativity, business growth, solved problems, and the elimination of debt. We believe that the words that we use here, family, your health, your finances, and your work, can become external evidence to an internal reality of the kind of growth that you're experiencing in your relationship with and your reliance upon Christ in your life. The world observes how our family operates, how we operate with our finances, the words that come out of our mouth, how we take care of our health. And these become the external evidence of an internal reality.
Thank you for making all this possible here at Intentional Living Center, part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. We have a commitment to our radio stations around the country and to our center, which, by the way, if you're new to this ministry and you're listening to the radio station in Detroit or Phoenix or maybe in Florida or Kansas or wherever you're listening, we have a commitment. We are Intentional Life Media. Family Life Radio is on the air around the country, as is so many of our affiliate stations that are listening in from day to day. But we have a commitment here through Intentional Life Media. That's our overarching ministry name, because here's what our goal is. And we have a mission statement. It's very clear. We want to affirm your faith. We want to offer hope. And we want you to experience life as God intended, to help equip you to do that. And that's why we do this every day. And so it's a privilege to take these 28 minutes every day to share with you a little bit about how to do that and what's going on, hearing stories of people. And you all who pray for us and support us, make it possible. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. If you would like to join us and be on this journey, you can do so today. Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go on over to theintentionallife.com, click on the donate icon. Love to hear from you. All right, Tina, you get the award for the Patience Award today. They're waiting longest in Michigan. Yes. Thank you for your call. Go right ahead. What's your experience?
Well, I guess the Lord had given me patience for sure, because I've been married 30 years and we have three sons, and we had to deal with what Angie has dealt with a husband and a father using degrading, harsh words, yelling, being angry. And so I had to really go in deep and listen to the Holy Spirit and spend time through these years of do I leave? Do I separate? And the Holy Spirit never just kind of gave me the insight of what was going on and what my husband needed. But at the same time, I will say that for my kids, I had to, at times, if my husband was saying something degrading or harsh, I did have to stop him and say, "You, that is not what you're trying to say, or that is not what you mean." And I would help him, you know, go back and say it the right way.
That's a lot of responsibility you took on, didn't it?
Yeah, and I felt like, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, you know, don't argue or don't debate in front of your kids, which I would not ever get involved with if there was anything that was right in the eyes of the Lord and how yeah. he teaches. But when he was saying something that was against them as a human and something
yeah, that's damaging. How old are the kids now, Tina?
Yeah. So
how old are they now?
I have a 30-year-old, 30, and 28 and 26.
And how'd that affect them now as adults? Do you think?
Yeah. So one was more, well, it all affects them. I mean, I had to really go through also through the years and explain that, you know, that these things are, you know, a lot of not being brought up in good parenting skills and also having hurt and pride and that, you know, and that we have to pray for your dad. But one has struggled more so than the other, but we're still praying now for the last, I would say I've been married 30 years, and for the last 5 years, my husband has apologized for his actions.
How does he feel about that now? Like, how do you think, I mean, you're at this stage now where you got adult children. What has he learned that you think he would say to others? And what would you say to others who are going through this now?
Yeah, his biggest thing is that he was not following the Lord's direction in his life. And so that's was the biggest step for him to start reading and surrendering his life to his relationship with the Lord. And so when he started reading what God says about how you treat people and how you're to continue to forgive offenses and so forth, it made him humble to be able to feel the impact that he made on the kids.
So, unfortunately, I'm sure that you and I'm sure the regret of saying, wow, all those years lost. I hope the story you just heard, and I think that's the intention of Tina, I hope the story you heard is a warning. If you're raising your kids today, your words are stinging. They are sticking. And I can tell you they'll last a lifetime. The Bible's very clear that a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue will crush the spirit. Listen, you and I have the power in our tongue today to either love or hurt. Can I encourage you to be intentional in this one area? Maybe some lessons learned from the stories you've heard today. Thank you for your calls. I'm Dr. Randy, praying for you. Love you. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.